I just want you to know that I'm sorry.
What's up, everyone?
Welcome back to another episode of Unhinged Memoirs, where we're going to be talking about mourning our childhood fucking youth.
Oh, yes. Because, you know, if we could all get a big round of a happy birthday, because tomorrow is Valerie's birthday.
Thank you.
So we definitely want to start with that. But
thank you.
Yeah. So it was a little bit of a rough morning today.
Yeah. I got super into my feels this morning because sometimes I feel like we go into... We go into birthdays with expectations.
I agree.
And I think sometimes some people get avoidant on their birthday, and usually that's like trauma related, mm-hmm. right? And then other people go into their birthdays with their expectations because of social media, right? We see a lot of dinners out with families, dinners out with friends, people having like a successful birthday, but sometimes it just doesn't look like that.
It doesn't. Not always.
So this morning I got into my feels and I'm like, I'm single. I don't have kids. I'm 37. This is not at all the way that I pictured my life to go.
What did you picture?
What did I picture?
Yeah.
By now I feel like I should have been married with at least one kid.
Right.
You know, and surrounded by family. What I really wanted was like, because my family is separated, right? And mm-hmm. my family is in all different parts of the country. My sister is in Massachusetts. My mother is in Georgia. Mm-hmm. Both my father and my stepdad died. So like, it's tough because I don't have that big family that everyone wants, you know? Right. So it's tough being so separated. So the beautiful part though, is that I created my own family here. I have created what I see for myself as my family.
And
you guys are
that.
Definitely it.
Yeah.
You know? So, but in that being said, I feel like it's really tough because I didn't expect to have this small of a group.
Of people, of friends?
Of friends, family, because I figured that I would be, like I said, like have a family by now right. and have kids and have that impact that I wanted to see, but I guess not.
I think that's where expectation can be a killer in that situation.
Yeah.
And, you know, I've kind of come to like the realization, like we all expect a lot in our life, like, right? Like we always have expectations of where we expected our life to be or what we're doing with our life.
Right.
And when we don't reach that, we kind of feel like, well, what's wrong with me? You know what I mean? And I feel like that's like a big issue for like a lot of us. Like I know, like, you know, I'm 40 years old now. And that itself, like turning 40, like killed me. Mm-hmm. Like I was like, that's it. I'm old now. Like there's no more like young youth, nothing. But if I look back to like where I was originally to where I am now, I feel like I have done a lot of growing in my life, right? You've watched just in general, like watching like how much I've changed as a person and how much I've grown and how much I've healed and gone through so many things in life.
Dude, I think by this age, like we talked about this the other day. We have been through marriages, divorce,
yeah,
abuse, funerals, weddings,
a little children, bit of everything.
Literally graduations. We have been through everything together.
Yeah.
And in that, like I never pictured my life like being 37. Like everyone has kids, everyone has a family, and it's tough being on this side of things, being single when everyone else is doing family things.
Right. And I get that, because I know when you had called earlier and we were talking about it, you said you felt lonely. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? And I think that there's a loneliness that comes with both sides, whether it be being single, not having kids, not being married, being older and feeling like, hey, why is my life where it's at? Right. Mm-hmm. But then there's also loneliness that comes in like when you have kids too, because you start to go and kind of realize like, what am I looking for here? You kind of start to realize like not everybody is your friend. Right.
Yes.
And there's a point that you start to get where you're sitting here going, okay, well, I'm constantly taking care of kids and I'm constantly doing all stuff. Where's my adult time? And then when you have friends that don't have kids, you find that they're the ones that like, and now with you is a little bit different, but in a lot of situations, all my other friends that didn't have kids, like it was like crickets. I heard nothing.
It was my throat goat.
Yeah, your throat goat. So, and that was kind of like the issue for me. Yeah. A little bit, you know what I mean?
Can you kind of like explain what that felt like? Because I think it gives a different perspective, because I'm going from the single lens of having no kids mm-hmm. to someone who's had kids when they were younger. What's that like? So we can connect with other people. Like, how does that feel?
So I had kids I had my son at 20, right? Like mm-hmm. I got pregnant. I was just about to turn 20, but I was 19, I think, when I found out I was pregnant. Mm-hmm. And that was, I wanted to have kids, of course. I didn't know that I really wanted to do it that soon.
Yeah.
But I also was told at like 17, 18 years old that I couldn't have kids because I had to have literally this massive tumor removed from my left ovary.
I remember.
And they removed that left ovary. And then I remember the doctor going, listen, between that and you have a whole bunch of little tiny cysts that are like literally encompassing your whole ovary, mm-hmm. Your chances of having a kid is so small, mm-hmm. like if at all. And that was like my driving force. I'm like, oh, I need to have kids now. You know what I mean? Like,
that must have been devastating to hear.
It was because when I was younger, at that age, originally, mm-hmm. like before I found that out, I had no interest in wanting to have kids at that point.
Right.
Because I, you know, my mom and my stepdad had worked all the time. So I was helping raise my brother mm-hmm. And my sister to an extent, but mostly my brother. And I kind of took that on as he was like my little baby doll. But, in that, I started that at like 12 years old.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? So once I like got freedom and I was out and I was on my own, I was like, yeah, I don't want kids. Like, I'm just going to enjoy life. I'm going to do my thing.
And then she gets pregnant at 19. Right.
Yeah. Well, once I was told that, it was like, I remember telling my ex, now my ex, but at the time, my fiance, I was mm-hmm. like, you know, I want to have kids. And he's like, well, then let's start trying. And mm-hmm. so we start trying, and we tried from literally when I was like 18. To 19, mm-hmm. beginning when I turned 19, I was like, no, it's just not working. It's not happening. So we'll just stop, mm-hmm. which was stupid. Even though at the time my life was good. Like, I mean, my financials were good. Like, for being young, like everything was going in the right direction.
Right.
But it wasn't, we stopped. And then all of a sudden I found out right before I turned 20 that I ended up pregnant. And having kids that young, I feel like even though like it's great, like I love my children, I wouldn't take it back for the world because they are my world. They're my babies. Right. But like in the same breath, it was hard. It's rough being young and having kids, especially when stuff happened. I ended up finding out like the relationship didn't work. And it just was a situation where I'm like, you know, now I'm a single mom.
Right.
With two kids at the time, because I had two kids with him. You know what I mean? And so by the time I was 24 years old, I was a single mother with two kids. And
do you feel like you lost a lot of your independence? Like, you lost a lot of your younger years. People talk about all going out and partying.
Oh yeah.
And
I didn't get to go do
your
like
milestones.
Yeah. So I felt like I lost out on a lot of the stuff that I wish, you know, I wish for my kids now. Like I tell them, I said, you know, having kids is like the most amazing experience. Right.
Yeah.
But there's no rush. Like, take your time, build your life first, go to school, get college done, get a house, do all those things, and then worry about having kids. You know mm-hmm. what I mean? Because that, it's not that it hinders you, but it's going to hold you back from a lot of things that you could have done, because it is harder. It's much harder, especially for me at 24 at the time with two young kids.
Yeah.
Going to college and trying to like get my life together and do stuff. That's rough. Mm-hmm. It's extremely hard.
Mm-hmm.
But then feeling like I had nobody, you know what I mean? Like, you were like the only friend like I really had, you know what I mean? Like, when it came to that I felt like,
and I loved every minute. I will be a ride or die over and over again.
Ride or die. But yeah. But so like in that moment, like it's lonely. It's lonely as a just as a person in general, but lonely as a parent to go, I'm watching other people. Cause like even with you, right? I watched you be able to go and do all these fun things. You know what I mean? You, especially as the kids got a little bit older, you know, you were out and you were able to go and travel, and you were able to just out of a whim, just like, oh, I'm going to Fort Lauderdale for the weekend, or, oh, I'm going over here for the weekend, or, oh, we're taking a trip to Tennessee, or, oh, we're doing this, or, oh, we're doing that. You know what I mean?
I think like, and thank you for clarifying that. Cause when we were talking about this earlier, I was like, I don't remember doing a lot of things like without you.
Right.
When they were little.
Little.
Like
no.
Little, I was always
living with me.
I was pretty much living with you. And like, that was my,
right.
That was my entertainment. Like, yeah. But now I get what you're saying. Like, yeah. And I did. I absolutely did.
Yeah.
And I wouldn't trade those experiences for the world. I wouldn't trade the, like, just the absolute it's a freeing feeling.
Yeah.
And I, you know what, now that we're talking about it, I think that's a part of the reason why I think I'm mourning all of this.
Because you were doing it.
Because I was doing it, now I'm not.
Right.
I had someone to do that with.
That's, you know, understandable.
I had someone that I was able to, like, go take trips with and go travel with and go kayaking with, mm-hmm, and go whatever we wanted to do. I always had that person.
Right.
And we didn't have, you know, any small children.
Right.
That we had to worry about and take care of. So I think it comes with like a different, it comes with a different level of loneliness when that's happened, because I think that even though I was happy doing it, I was happy doing it. Mm-hmm. I was absolutely happy doing it. But I just feel like now that I don't have that,
it's lonely.
Right.
Right.
And I feel like a lot of people, they put expectations on like, you're going to be with that person for a long time. And like, especially if you don't have kids, there's nothing tying you to that. I feel, mm-hmm, like it would have been different. Like, I feel like, would I want to be a single mom? No, right, not by any means. However, I feel like having a kid, like, I wouldn't feel as lonely because I know that I would immerse myself in that child.
Right. Yeah, because you're older now.
Because I'm older and I'm more mature and I'm doing these things and I have wisdom behind me now, right, going through all the things that I've been through. So I feel like I would feel less like, no one wants to hang out. I don't care. I'm going to the movies with my kid.
Right.
You know what I mean? Like, and I, that's a part of mourning that I wish.
I know. Cause so you mourn it differently because the fact that you don't have any kids at all. You know what I mean? Right. So I feel like there's a mourning of like the motherhood feeling, you know what I mean? In that same aspect.
Yeah.
But I will say, even being a mom and like doing stuff with your kids and stuff, like there's times that you'll be like, I literally surround myself with kids all day long. You know what I mean? Like here, I'm surrounded on kids, and now my kids are older now, right? Mm-hmm. But when they were younger, I was like, I felt like I was constantly just talking to children. So when I, you know what I mean? I'm like, I need adult time. I'm starting to like talk like
a you're like child. Getting on the phone with your best friend. Hi, baby.
Wait, you gotta go potty.
Yeah. Yeah. No, I get it.
So in that situation, like, yeah, like it's great. It's great. Like having kids, it is. It truly is. Like it's a blessing. And like I said, I don't change it for the world, but you even find loneliness even being a parent. You know what I mean? Because it's not, a lot of times it's not like a reciprocal type love in like a companionship.
I get it.
You know what I mean?
I get that.
Like, mommy, I need this. I need you to do that. I need this. I need my butt wiped. I need food. I'm hungry. Can you clean my room? Can you help me with my homework? Can you
listen, do this? Listen, my trauma tells me that I'm very good at taking care of people.
Oh, I know you're great at taking care of people, but your resentment kicks in.
I know.
You go, but what about me?
Then I'm calling a baby daddy. You mother.
Yeah. So in that situation.
I wouldn't either. Actually. I'm just kidding. Let me just clarify.
You're like, no, I wouldn't do that.
Yeah, no. Let me just clarify. Okay. This all started because I'm sitting at home. And now, mind you, you and I are on different sleep schedules.
We are right now.
So it makes it tough when I'm craving connection, but I know that you're sleeping. Mm-hmm. And the loneliness really starts to echo of going, oh, my God.
Right.
Right. And then my mind spiraled because I'm like, okay. Now, please understand what I'm saying when I say this. In that moment, I was thinking of everything in my life, mm-hmm, what's transgressed in the past 1 year.
Right.
Okay. Between people and things and happenings. And I go, I'm sitting in my apartment, still in my pajamas, nowhere to go. It's raining. Mm. It's bad storming.
It was bad today.
There's nothing. No one's reached out to me. Nothing. So in that moment, I'm like, fuck, like I feel unimportant. I don't feel like I'm prioritized the way that I prioritize other people.
Right.
So in that moment, I'm like, I try to do like for my sister. Okay. Mm-hmm. Every year on her birthday, I make sure that she's got a birthday gift because she is so far. I make sure that she's got a birthday gift at her door.
Right.
The day of or day prior to her birthday.
Right.
At this point, I haven't even gotten a call. Mm. You know, my mother didn't reach out. You're still sleeping. And I'm like sitting here going, well, fuck.
Right.
Right. Like that doesn't feel good.
No, it doesn't. It does not feel good in that moment.
Right. So I'm like sitting here and like it's like, and then finally, like when I called you and you'd woken up, like it just came out. You know what I mean? Like you were texting at first. And then I'm like, no, because like Anyway, so when I had called you and I was crying, in that moment, everything came out. I was like, you know what? I have all these people in my life who are like, I love you. I miss you. I want to be friends with you. Let's hang out. Let's do things. Where are you?
Right.
Really, where are you? And it's like, then I have to take myself out of my head and go, okay, these people have families. They're busy. Like, they're really super busy. But then I go, okay, like, but not even like an hour or two.
Right.
To go to coffee. Like, then I really start getting in my head of like, who's really here for me?
Right.
Who really? And in that moment, I was like, who really can I call right now? Who's going to say, come over?
But you know that the door is always open here.
I know, but beside you when you're sleeping, you know what I mean? Like, and realistically, like, that's what I'm saying. Like, yeah. And it makes it tough. Like, and I'm not trying to sit here and go like, you need to change your sleep schedule for me. No, that's not what I'm saying. I'm just saying that it makes it tough.
Right.
You know? So in those moments, like, it would be nice to have a bigger group that right. I can go, okay, well, I'm gonna let her sleep. Let right. me go hang out with her until she wakes up. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? But the truth of the matter is that I don't.
Right.
I have friends that I can go do things with occasionally, but mm-hmm. I don't have close friends like I have you.
Right.
And that sounds fucked up because I know like one other person in my life and I know she's going to hear this and go, but what about me? And I understand that. But it's so busy and chaotic mm-hmm. that it's hard to connect.
Right. And I think that a lot of times, like, we all like it, we've said it recently, we all have so much going on in our lives. Mm-hmm. There has been so much chaos and so much just problems nonstop mm-hmm. in the past, like, I would say month and a half,
mm-hmm.
like, that everything just seems to have gone to shit for the most part right now.
Right.
And I feel like we're all trying to rebuild from where we're at currently right this second. And I feel like it's creating a lot of space for people to feel left out,
yeah,
and creating a lot of space for people to feel like not a part of it.
Mm-hmm.
And that's on all of us. You right. know what I mean? Like, realistically, that's all of us. And I feel like we just have to better prioritize shit is what it really truly comes down to in our lives. And actually, like, figure things out a little bit. You know what I mean? If that makes sense. But with that being said, like, I get the feeling lonely. And, like, outside of, like, you and Liz, like, I feel like I don't have any other friends outside of my family. You know what I mean? Like, I have a lot of acquaintances. Well, no, I'm going to, let me back up. I do feel like I have other friends. Like, I feel like I have Christy,
yeah,
and Ethan and stuff. You know what I mean? But, like, we don't hang out every day outside of work because right. she's busy.
Right.
You know what I mean? They have their son and they're constantly doing, and you know what I mean? So, like, in that aspect, like, I don't feel like I have a lot of, like, real close friends that I can constantly hang out with, like, on the daily or exactly. just to see, because Eric is always working. You right. know what I mean? So he's gone most of the night. And, you know, since he went to nights, it messed up my schedule because I'm like, okay, well, I'll do that. So that this way, at least during the day, you know what I mean? If I'm not working on those days, like, at least then I can lay next to him and sleep next to him.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? I feel like that started my schedule of getting it messed up.
Yeah.
But I was still, like, still waking up early. I was just living off of, like, lack of sleep.
And that's not good.
Not good at all.
How I so feel I've been, about you not sleeping.
Right. So then I start sleeping more too on top of it. You know what I mean? And I think that's messed up my schedule. Plus then I got, like, caught up on one of these, this TikTok guy that's on here that's like a really big creator, and he catches predators. Mm-hmm. And I have been so sucked into watching his show because it's absolutely amazing.
Yeah.
That I feel like, I mean, I can sit and he'll go on live for like 10 hours and I don't like step away from it at all. And like all of a sudden I'm like, oh shit, I've literally sat here for the past 8 hours and it just felt like it was like an hour or two that I was watching yeah. the show. You know what I mean? So that's a big problem too, because he does it in the middle of the night. So, and then I find I'm up until 5, 7, 6, 8, whatever, you know, in the morning before I'm even going to sleep.
Does so. That, and realistically, like, I know how I felt working nights
mm-hmm.
and sleeping during the day. I feel like that fucked with me mentally. Does it bother? But you've always been a night person.
I was going to say, see, the difference is you've always been a morning person. Like, yeah. you've always been like the morning bird that like gets up and like,
I can't, you know, wait until your chronotype comes out on your freaking Aura ring. Yeah,
I'm curious on it too.
I'm curious.
So curious on that. But I know, like, for me, like, my whole life, I've always been a night owl. Like, I have struggled my whole life with mm-hmm. going to sleep. You know what I mean? Like, maybe it's insomnia. Maybe, I don't know what it is, but I know that like I'm not tired. Even when I try, I can literally wake up like at 6:37. Yeah, and I grew up the way the whole time, right?
Yeah.
6:37 o'clock, I can wake up in the morning and I'm dragging ass all day long. Like all day long. It doesn't matter. Like I will be tired the whole day, even if I got 8 hours of sleep, right? But if I go to bed at like 2, 3, 4 o'clock in the morning, wake up 10, 11, I'm good for the rest of the day. Like I am wired. I get most productive. I get everything done that day.
Yeah. See, like, 10, 11. Like, listen, if you were to like wake up now, like 10, 11.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I woke up at 2 p.m.
I wouldn't feel so funky.
Yeah.
But it's lately you've been waking up at like 2,
it's 3, I've been 4. Stuck watching his show.
I know.
That's the problem.
And I'm like sitting here going, okay, well, I guess I'm not going to hang out with my best friend today.
Yeah.
Like my, the selfish part of my loneliness is going, okay, well, I guess not.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Not doing that today.
Not doing that. But I'm like, but I want to. Because I don't want to sit here by myself.
Then come, that's when you just show up and wake my ass up.
Yeah, but that's insane.
No, it's not.
That's,
you're going to come over anyways, right? You're just waiting for me to wake up.
I'm waiting for you to wake up.
Okay, so why not just come over and be like, morning?
Because if that were to happen, you would have gotten a good morning at 11 a.m.
Okay, and I would have been fine with that.
You wouldn't. What time to go to bed?
Actually early. I think I went to bed at like 4 last night. I did. I went to bed actually early because I got off of his live at, I want to say it was like 3 o'clock.
This is a sick addiction.
Sick addiction. I'm telling you, nobody tune into Caught by BK on TikTok because I promise you, you will be like,
everyone's like, my favorite show's on.
Yeah. For real.
Yeah, I get it.
We
I
play see that it. Shit on our TV.
Mm-hmm.
Like, yeah.
Yeah, no, it's good. I get it. Listen, I get it. And he's doing the world a great favor. So he's thank doing you.
The Lord's work.
Shout out to BK.
Shout out TikTok. To BK.
Thank you very much. I get it. I get it. But I'm lonely. Damn it.
That's why I said come wake me up.
Yeah. So bottom line to this is the fact that I have a very small group of people that I trust and I love and I want to hang out with. And especially like when I'm single and my family is not here, it's isolating when that's, you're both my family and my friend.
I know. Biologically and figuratively.
Biologically and figuratively. So you guys are literally like, you are like what I have here.
Right.
You're absolutely what I have here. So it's, that puts a lot of expectation on you, and I'm sorry. I don't mean to put,
it's okay.
That's a lot of burden.
It's not.
To carry. No, that's a lot. Because I'm sitting here hearing it, like, as I'm speaking it out, and I'm going, that's a lot of burden to carry. Like, that's a lot of pressure. And I don't mean it to be pressure.
And I don't feel like it's pressure.
You don't?
No. And maybe I'm just different. But in that situation, I don't feel like it's a burden. For me, at least. It don't feel like a burden to me. Because in reality, outside of like my small amount of family that's here in Florida, mm-hmm. right? And Eric and the kids, like I have you.
You call that small?
Yeah.
That's crazy.
Compares the size of my actual family?
Yeah, yes. No, I get that. I understand that. But do you know, like when we go out somewhere, we're like 18 deep.
But I also bring like 13 of them. You know what I mean? You got to think about it. We have what, 7 kids in the house all total.
Yeah.
And then me and Eric, that's 9. You, that makes 10.
Yeah.
Okay. So we're bringing 10 deep, right?
Yeah.
Then there's my sister, my brother-in-law. Then yep. There's my mom, 12, my dad,
14.
My stepdad, and my grandmother. I want to say my great-grandma, 15. My grandma. And then if my brother's here and his fiance,
17.
Then that's 17. But they're in North Carolina, so I don't get to see them very often either. You know what I mean? Them.
I really wish that they would move back here.
I know, I do too, but... So we have our family.
Jeremiah,
right?
Come home.
Move back.
Here. So. I know. But I feel like, okay, well, you know, I guess it's not. Whatever. I guess it's not. Because, like, that's what family does.
Right.
Oh, I'm getting chest pain.
I had, growing up, a decent-sized family with having 3 siblings. You know what I mean? Like,
yes.
And having my grandmother live with us and all that stuff. And then mom and stepdad. You know what I mean? But.
Do you ever get random boob pains?
Yep. All the time.
I'm having a boob pain.
You're having a boob pain.
I am. Sorry. ADHD.
Squirrel.
Squirrel. All right. Anyway.
Sud hut.
Yes. Sud hut. Did you have.
Did you? Oh boy. Set hut. Yep. Okay. <Let's> restart.
Did you ever feel like, and I think that's why you are the way that you are, because I grew up, like, even though I had sisters, mm-hmm. I didn't grow up with them.
Mm-hmm. So you're more of like an, even though you had siblings,
an only child, right? Which is crazy. And I think that's some of my problem.
I felt that way as an only child until I was 12, because I was an only child until I was 12.
Right.
So I know the feeling of feeling alone, mm-hmm. if that makes sense. Mm-hmm. But then from the age of 12 on, I was constantly surrounded around people.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? So.
That's why. I think that's why you're really good at splitting your time.
Am I?
Mm-hmm.
Maybe on the outside. Maybe I'm good at splitting the time. I'm not good at handling the splitting of time, like in my emotional state. You know what I mean?
I think
it's very overwhelming and overstimulating.
Oh, I'm sure I've seen it. That I understand. But you handle it so well. She's like,
I mean, I appreciate that.
I
don't know if I really do.
Well, I think so.
Well, thanks. I appreciate
You're
that.
Welcome.
I don't feel like I do, though.
That's crazy. That's crazy.
I don't know. Like, yeah, we're just, I'm messing over here. Just, I don't know. I think that I get overstimulated at times where I'm like, I just want effing alone time. You know what I mean? And then in the same breath,
I've seen you
when
alone
I
time.
Get alone time, I'm like, but what now?
Right?
Like, it's crazy. Like, yes. When the house is quiet, when all the kids are like out doing something and the house is quiet, right? Eric's at work and I'm here by myself. I'm like, what?
Mm-hmm.
Like, I don't even know what to do with myself, like, mm-hmm. in that situation. Like, I'll clean the house and I'm like, okay, well, that's done. What other responsibilities can I do? And that itself feels lonely because I'm used to surrounding myself.
I live that every day.
Right.
That's what's tough, is because I'm like, I feel like when I'm here, mm-hmm. I feel just fine. I'm not one to isolate.
Right.
I'm not one to, like, yes, I recharge on my alone time, mm-hmm. but recharging for me looks like, hey, I want to go, like, take a bath by myself.
Right.
I want to go cook by myself. I want to put on music. I want, like, a quiet time to read a book by myself, mm-hmm. or to scroll TikTok for an hour, right. without anyone interrupting me. But the rest of my time,
what does that look like?
Makes me feel like I'm crazy for being this way. That's why.
Yeah.
Because I know so many people, like, when I talk about this, there are so many people, like, at work, mm-hmm. who go, I envy your position. Do you really, though? And then that brings up the question of, do we really actually settle into our own roles in life without comparing ourselves to other and envying that other person?
I think you always will do that.
That's because I'm sitting here looking at you guys going, I envy you. And they look at me going, I envy you. Do we really settle into our own shit?
I mean, probably. But I think, yes, I envy you in the times that I feel overwhelmed. Right? Like, I do. Because I'm like, it must be nice to, like, financially. Now, it's not financially nice to have to just afford everything by yourself in the state of Florida.
It sucks.
We'll start with that. But, mm-hmm. In the whole, like, picture of it, like, to be able to go, you know what, I just have to buy groceries for myself this week.
Right.
I just have to, you know, I'm saying, pick up after myself.
Mm-hmm.
I can clean the house and come upstairs to just take a quick shower and go back downstairs and go, what the hell just happened? Because I swear I just was cleaning the house. And it looks the exact same way it did right before I did. And I'm like, how has that happened? Like, there's too many of us.
Mm-hmm.
So in that, I think that there's times that, yes, I do envy that your house is, like, always, like, pristinely perfect, because I can make this house, and I'm in the shit of it is I have bad OCD.
I know.
Right? And that's why I'll get to the point where I get so overwhelmed by what's going on, mm-hmm. that I will literally just lock myself in my room for the day if it's, like, getting too bad, because I'm like, if I'm not, I'm going to, like, literally overdo myself, burn myself out by constantly cleaning, because I clean 24/7. So I then find that I'm locking myself away just to escape what I still have to do.
Let me ask you a question, though. Don't you think that a little bit of your OCD is also your form of the, you know how we talked about how when we don't feel in control,
mm-hmm.
that is our form of control?
Mm-hmm.
Do you feel like that's how some of it was learned?
Maybe. Maybe, but I even struggle with, like, I struggle with the way people fold towels. So I get frustrated. Yeah, I'm not even gonna lie. Like, I love Eric to death, right? He'll be like, babe, let me help you fold towels. I'm like, oh, I got it. And I will, like, in, like, hyper speed try to fold the towels, because if not, I know I'm gonna have to go behind him just to, like, redo it. So it's a mental worm ahead.
That's what it comes down to. I can tell, you poor thing. I get it, though. That's like, I do the same thing. Like, if someone tries to help me clean my house, I'm sitting here going, but I really don't want you to touch that.
Right.
I get that. 100%. Right. And that's also my form of control.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
Right?
Mm-hmm.
Yep. Yes. Mm-hmm. That's about it. And then when you start going on your, I rearranged the house, my first question, you good?
Yeah. You're right. Good. You literally just changed the whole damn house.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Move living rooms into different rooms. I do that shit all the time.
Yeah, dude.
That sucks.
So anyway, back on topic. We're tangenting.
We are.
I love that we tangent.
Yeah, me too.
I think being in your 30s and 40s and having and being single in your 30s and 40s really kind of sucks.
Yeah.
It does.
And I see that.
But this is where I want to get stronger. This is where, because remember when I was doing travel nursing and I would go out, like when I was in Fort Myers, I go to like Fort Myers Beach, but it forced me to, because remember when I was driving there and I called you and I am, right? And I'm freaking out crying because I'm like, this is scary.
It is.
Like, that really was scary. But then once I was over there, I was like, oh, I can do that.
Right. Because that was the first time you were leaving your boyfriend at the time.
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
And not just him. I was leaving everything I knew.
Right. That was your first travel assignment.
That was my first travel assignment.
That's crazy.
Mm-hmm.
But you ended up having a lot of fun.
I did. And I had a lot of fun by myself. And like, in those moments, I'm like, okay, it's not as bad as I thought, you know? But I think being in that, I don't know what it is. I don't know what changed, because being in that moment, I was having so much fun doing things by myself. Like, I was making dinner reservations. I went to downtown Fort Myers Beach. Mm-hmm. And I remember finding a spot, parking my car, paying for the parking, and then going out to the restaurant and going up there wanting to have dinner like by myself and going, hey, can I have a table for one? She's like, yeah, sure. She's like, inside or outside? And I said, outside. And she's like, well, it's going to be about 45 minute wait. And I said, that's fine. I'll wait. Like, I had nothing to wait on, but I wanted that table in the sand on the beach for the sunset on the West Coast.
So let me ask you a question.
What?
Do you feel like in those moments you didn't feel lonely and you enjoyed doing the alone stuff?
Because I had someone.
Yep. Right.
Yep.
So that's what it really comes down to, is just the loneliness is feeling like you don't have a companion.
Yes.
Someone to fall back on.
Yes. Because I knew in that moment, like, I knew I was doing it. That strictly was for me, not because I had no one.
Right. And I can understand that. I mean, I definitely can understand that, because I think in the times that I was single, even though I enjoyed, like, when I took my, like, year and a half sabbatical of no relationships, I was like, I'm not doing it. No matter who was trying to come for me, I was like, I'm not doing it.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? And in that, I really enjoyed that time.
Mm-hmm.
But I noticed, like, watching other people be in relationships during that period of time was also hard for me. Because I was like, well, I kind of want that. But in the same aspect, like, I feel like I was at war with myself almost. Because there was a part of me that was like, yeah, I want the companionship. I want someone to, like, spend time with. But then I don't want the responsibility of a relationship, because it just ends up in hurt.
That's exactly how I feel.
So, and I think that was the struggle for me.
Mm-hmm. That's exactly where I'm at, too. I feel like I want to sit here and cry. It's very confusing and I hope that people listening can understand what I'm getting at, but like, it's hard being in that space of going, I want someone, but then again, I don't.
Right.
I get like that. Paradoxical, right? Yeah. It's like, on one hand, I'm going, okay, it would be nice to have someone here just to hang out with
and to spend time with,
but I also, and it's crazy, I'm sitting here going like, I'm lonely, but realistically, I don't get this feeling very often.
Right.
I don't get this lonely very often.
Right.
I really do enjoy my alone time. I think it's hitting harder because tomorrow's my birthday. And I'm like, okay, who really is around me? But if tomorrow was not my birthday, I would have been like, oh, cool. I'm just waiting for her to answer.
Right.
You know what I mean?
Like, so there was more stress on it because it is your birthday
tomorrow. Yes. Yes. And like the moments that I was talking about, like my baptism, mm-hmm. right? It's big moments that like that, that I'm like, okay, this is where I need my people that I care about to show up for me.
Right.
You know? But outside of that, I would have been just fine you waking up at 2:30 and calling me.
Right.
I'm on my way. You know what I mean? It's mm-hmm. really like, I don't feel this way very often. And mm-hmm. I think that's why I'm like going, I don't think I'm ready for a relationship yet, because I really do enjoy my time alone. I'm just missing it on big milestone moments.
Right. And I can understand that. I wholeheartedly can understand feeling that way in that situation.
Yeah.
But in like the same breath, like, know that I'm always gonna show up.
I know.
Okay. I might show up late in certain situations like today. You know what I mean? But I'm always gonna show up. That's just what it comes down to.
I know.
You know what I mean? Like, and when it comes to like your baptism and stuff, of course I'm just gonna be there. You know what I mean? I'll be there early. Shit. I'll be showing up before anybody else. I'll be there before the pastor. You know what I mean? Like bells on my feet.
I know.
So I think you just have a lot of fear when it comes to a lot of things. And especially,
that's my fear of abandonment.
That's what I was just gonna say. It definitely comes from that abandonment.
Mm-hmm.
But you're not alone, you know what I mean?
I know. And she's loud today. She's screaming today. She's loud as hell. She is.
Yeah,
like literally the inside child in me is screaming today.
Right. I get that.
And it's sad.
And I'm sorry that you feel that way.
Me too.
You're seen, you're heard, you're validated.
Yeah, fuck you.
Hey, I'm just saying it.
No, I know.
You got to say it for a little louder
in the back. Yeah, say it for a little louder in the back. I know that. I think that's why, like, I'm trying to go, you're fine.
Yeah.
You know, like, I had, and it's crazy because I had that talk with myself this morning of feeling that way.
Right.
And as I'm, like, meal prepping for the week and stuff, I'm like, you're fine. It's fine. Yeah. Like, you're okay. You're safe. Like, I'm literally talking to myself. Like, I'm talking.
Trying to calm yes. yourself down. Yeah.
I'm, like, talking to that piece in me that's hurt and upset and, like, feeling alone and abandoned and right. not important. And then, like, it's a tough fucking spot to be in.
It is.
But hindsight being 2020, I know that, like, in this season, mm-hmm. I'm being prepped for something better. And that's where I also have to realize that, like, okay, I'm sitting here going, oh my God, it really sucks being single in my 30s, right. like in my late 30s. But I'm like, you know what? Everything in my life has happened for a reason and has given me wisdom to see situations
for what they are.
For what they are. And in that moment, I didn't see those situations.
Right.
So I think what I'm carrying with me through this next year and the years to come is that I'm taking this season of loneliness and going, okay, now I'm religious, or not, I'm not religious. I'm a Christian, so I'm spiritual and like all that stuff. But I'm like going, okay, what is God trying to do in me?
Right.
What is he shaping me and prepping me for? What is this period of loneliness teaching me? And I honestly think, like, if I sit back and I look at it, I need to start letting that fear go and taking baby steps, because I don't know why, like, in this area too, it worries me to go out alone in this area.
Right.
Like I don't know. So I feel like I need to hone in on the lesson of being in this period.
Right.
Is what I need to do.
I think that's smart. And I think, you know, I think a lot of people also, and I, let me back up. I feel that what my mom and my grandmother used to say when I was a little kid rings more true now than it does at any point in my life. And that was, I remember them growing up and them saying to me, you will count your real friends on one hand.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Like, hold on to those ones. Those are the ones that are going to be important. And it may not even be a full hand worth. It may just be one or two. But you will find that you have certain people that come into your life that are going to stay forever. And then you'll have ones that don't. And you have to learn to be able to be okay and comfortable sitting in that.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? And I think that is like the hardest lesson of all. And I think that as we get older and we go, oh man, I thought I had all these friends. I thought I had, you know, all these people. But no, was it really just them being loyal to you because of what you could offer them at the time?
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? That's what I was finding a lot of time. And I think
also some of it is convenience too.
Right.
We have.
Yeah. And I also think there's times that people just grow apart too. But I agree. in a lot of situations, like, I think it's who you surround yourself around too. Who you allow into your inner circle, I think, is the biggest part of that.
Yeah.
And realizing it's okay to just have a few people that you can rely on.
Agreed.
You know what I mean? Because sometimes there's a beauty in that in itself.
Mm-hmm.
I would rather have a small amount of friends on one hand that I can count now at this point in my life and go, I know I can trust them. I know that they're going to show up when it matters. And I know that they'll always be there for me, than have a shit ton of friends, or what I think are friends, and wonder who's actually going to show up when times get hard.
Oh, for sure. And so, that I totally understand. And I'm with you on that. I think it's just like, it's the not having one. I don't know. Oh God, it's so frustrating.
What's frustrating exactly?
This feeling that I have, because it's like I'm looking at this and I'm going, yeah, I understand. Like, I 100% am with you.
Right.
When I'm in a relationship and I'm with someone, me saying that statement, I'm like, yeah, absolutely. I only want a small amount of friends.
Right.
But then I'm going, no. Me single should be saying the same thing.
Right.
I need to unpack that.
Yeah, I agree. I think there's a lot to that, though. I think it's, you know, it's hard. And I think that was my biggest lesson before I got with Eric, was learning to be okay on my own. Like, being fully 100% like okay in the quietness of myself.
I think I am okay in the quietness. I think it's just, it's quiet all the time. And then we talked about that too.
Right.
There's not really chaos in my life.
Right. And then you get bored because you're used to toxicity.
Because I'm used to chaos. And now that the chaos has been
like, and how do you removed. Self-sabotage your own life? You know what I mean? Like,
crying that I'm not chaos. Important. Calling up going, I'm not prioritized. You know, and I'm so grateful. I just have to say this too, like, as a sidebar. I am so grateful that I have, like, you are such an amazing friend to me, and we get each other so well that when I call you up and say those things, you're not taking it personal, because I think that you understand my brain enough to go, okay, this, I know where this is coming from.
Yeah. So I mean, at first I was like, when you first said it this morning, but I understood, like, when you're like, I just don't feel prioritized. That's why I would then re-ask the question. I'm like, do you feel like I don't prioritize you?
No.
You know what I mean? Like, in that situation, because I also understand that, like, in moments, sometimes our feelings are so, like, rambled up in our head that we don't even know, like, where the set, like, thoughts come from. You know what I mean? And so we're just feeling all these emotions. And in that moment, it's messy. And that's where the problem comes into
place. It was so messy.
Yeah.
And I think that was, like, multi-layered too when I called you, because it was everything. It was my family and you and work people. Like, it was everyone combined of, right. Like, I feel like I have a pretty good community, but this morning I felt I had no one.
Right.
But that's also here.
Right.
That's right in my head. You know what I mean? And it's like, my thoughts and anyone's thoughts can run wild when you have those feelings.
Right.
And it wasn't rational.
I think when there's silence, sometimes we can create our own stories to create insecurity in our own self.
Absolutely.
I think, and that's a big problem I notice that I used to do, and I notice I'm better at it now. Like, I've had to work through that of going, okay, stop trying to, like, overthink and create the stories of what you think is going on in your life, and just actually figure it the fuck out.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what it was coming down to.
I was watching church today, and Pastor Stephen was talking about, like, people. Actually, it was a really powerful message, because he said that he had a guy come up to him at a soccer game who said, I don't think you realize how much you actually saved my life. And he's like, I appreciate that. He's like, no, I don't think you realize it. Like, I had a to my mouth.
Right.
And use your imagination, people. And he goes, and I didn't pull it. And now I'm here watching my daughter on the soccer field.
Mm.
So he was talking about the struggles that we feel on a day-to-day basis, how God takes you from and then to something.
Right.
But in the middle, it's through. Right. So he was talking about how if all you can do for that day is just breathe in and breathe out, that's your cue right there.
Yeah, absolutely. Listen, life is hard at times.
Mm-hmm.
It is extremely hard. And I think a lot of times we deal with a lot of our pain and our problems very quietly. And we don't realize how one person can affect that to make it better. You know what I mean? Like in that situation, like you're just explaining, like with Steven, like he was able to help someone without even realizing he was helping someone, you know?
Yep.
So, and I think that's why we do what we do too.
I think so.
So we just want to help people.
I think just feel better. I think saying these stories, because I'm sitting here going, okay, is anyone going to get things out of this? But I'm sure that there's other people who go through the same type of things of going, you know what? Yes. Like, I do feel lonely. I do feel like mid-30s sucks because everyone else is married and I don't have that. Right. You know, I think giving connection and kind of like telling our stories to the whole world, it helps out other people.
I agree.
And I think it's very easy for us to get into a mode where we're depressed and we're not, we're reclusing and we're isolating if we're not properly addressing those channels.
Absolutely. And listen, from one person that has struggled with depression pretty much my whole life, I think one of the hardest things to do when you're younger is let me back up. I feel like when we're, as we get older, we learn to deal with those depression swings a little bit differently and to be able to get through those different emotions that we're feeling. Because I know, like when I was younger, I handled things a completely different way.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? My source of my coping mechanism for my depression when I was younger was to self-harm. You know what I mean? And I struggled with that, like I said before, for a long period of time.
Yeah.
That was something I actually struggled with into my 30s. And it wasn't a cry for help. Nobody really knew about it. You know, few people that may have caught, you know, in the act or caught like, a, you know, something. But it was something I hid very, very well.
So much so that I didn't learn about your tattoo on your arm until, what, 3 years ago?
Yeah.
Of why you got it?
Yeah. Was to cover because there were so many scars.
That's insane.
Yeah. Yeah.
And so. It's sad.
It is.
And it's so sad. But
I don't think that I knew how to cope with my problems. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? And I wanted to hide it. You know what I mean? I think that was the whole purpose of why nobody knew about it, because I wasn't doing it for, you know, anybody's pleasure. It was to release my pain. And it was something that I had to learn to find healthier boundaries of how to handle my own depression, my own problems, my own pain. And I think as I got older,
what helped you navigate that? Because that's not an easy thing to understand and to try to fix, especially when you've been doing it for so long, right? Like, how did you manage of going, this no longer is healthy? This needs to be fixed.
I think all along I knew it wasn't healthy. I meant self-harm is not something that you ever think is a healthy source of helping you. You know what I mean? And in the moment when I was younger, I felt like what I was doing was the only thing that numbed the pain, because I hate to say it, but in that moment, doing what I was doing, it was almost like a high in a sense. Like it released endorphins that literally like numbed you. Like I felt like when I was in that role, it was something that like I felt like a zombie by the time I was done. Like I felt drained and I felt emptied. Like I felt like the pressure valve was released and it was all gone in that moment. You know what I mean? But I was leaving scars, and that was the hardest part. And so I had to realize that I couldn't do that anymore. I had to realize, like, as I was doing it, like, and it's hard, because I'm not going to lie and say that there aren't times that even now, like, if I get like real angry, real upset, real frustrated, that thought doesn't cross my mind. You know what I mean? And I think that that's a struggle that I'll deal with for the rest of my life. But just like me quitting smoking, like that's something that I feel like to this day, there are times when life gets real stressful. I'm like, man, I really want a cigarette. You know what I mean? But I have to make that decision to go, but I'm not going to.
Right.
You know what I mean? And I think that's what it comes down to is setting boundaries on yourself, like setting boundaries to yourself. You know what I mean? Like you have to in those moments, you have to set those boundaries and go, I'm not going to keep hurting myself emotionally, mentally, physically. I have to find healthier ways around this, because if not, I'm just going to keep spiraling. Mm-hmm. And especially when you're already dealing with certain mental illnesses, you know what I mean? You have to find a way to be able to cope with that and be okay dealing with that in the same way. Does that make sense? Like
it does. And it's hard because I've been fortunate that I haven't had to deal with that. I haven't had to deal with that type of depression.
Right.
You know? And I couldn't imagine having that and feeling that and having that be an outlet for me. Like, I hear this from you and, like, that pains me. Like, I couldn't imagine that.
Right.
Like,
I think everybody handles pain differently.
I agree. But that's, like, I'm proud of you. That takes a lot to self-reflect on and understand, like, the mechanism behind that. Because it's just, I couldn't imagine.
And I think also, like, I think having children alone also was kind of, like, my eye-opener in that, too. I mean, yes, granted, I had my kids young. So, I mean, my son probably was around for more of it than the rest of them. I mean, I still hid it from him as well. Like, I never was like, you know, let me do that in front of him or anything. Yeah. But when he, what really stopped me, if I'm being 100% honest, was I think he was like 10. I want to say he was 10. Yeah, because it was like my early 30s. And he went to school and he was supposed to take a test, and his grandfather from his dad's side ended up like making him like, was like, if you don't pass this test, you're a loser. And it was like the FCATs or whatever the hell it is, like the state testing. Okay. And he got himself so worked up that by the time he was sitting in class, he took his pencil and started scraping his arm and kept going and was like, and just like, he was so worked up and he literally gouged his arm out to the point that the teacher stopped him and had to take him to the nurse. And then the principal got involved and then they called me, and I was like, this was the first time he'd ever done anything like that. And it was the self like, oh my God, what am I doing? Because I'm, am I teaching him this? Like, or is this just like, even though I never showed him that, you know what I mean? Like seeing him hurt himself was like a, oh, I have to stop this, because kids don't learn by what you say. They learn by example, right? So like in that situation, I'm like, I don't want this for my kids.
Right.
I don't want my kids growing up feeling like this is a healthy way to handle their problems.
Right.
Because it's not. You know what I mean? So with that being said, that was kind of like, I think that was my wake up, if I'm being honest, was Logan. You know what I mean? He was truly my wake up to go, I have to stop hurting myself. I have to stop harming myself, because I am teaching my babies that this is okay. And it wasn't, you know.
So I also feel like God gives you things for
absolutely,
to help you too.
Absolutely. No, I do.
Yeah, 100%
in that situation. I 100% do, you know what I mean? Because if it wasn't for them, I'd be lost, you know what I mean? They are the reason I am here, 100%. They are the reason that has kept me grounded here to make the right choices, like especially in my younger years, you know what I mean? Especially my like late 20s, going through like all the stuff I was going through. 100%. If it wasn't for them, I don't know where I'd be right now. All I know I would be, it wouldn't be here.
We gotta hug your children.
Yeah,
thank you for being here.
You got amazing babies.
You do.
Got lucky with them.
You do. I think that I haven't dealt with my depression in that manner. I think my depression is more like I recluse, you know what I mean? That's like when you do that, like I get that pattern. That's mine. And I isolate a lot. And I noticed that, especially like, I don't, and it's crazy because like I isolate more when I'm in relationships than I do when I'm single.
Right.
So I think that's,
you do isolate when you're in relationships. You isolate bad in relationships.
Yeah.
What is that?
Crickets. Said hut.
Do you think there's, because okay, so let me ask you this, because originally I thought it was codependency, right? Like I was like, is it, you're just, because when you're, it's weird because when you're single, you are like the most like hyper independent person, but once you're in a relationship, you are like hyperly codependent, like to such a strong extent, like if they even message you and they're like, hey, I'm on my way home, blah blah blah, blah, and you, they already knew you were hanging out with me, you'd be like, gotta go, like immediately, like you had to be in their presence 24/7. It was almost unhealthy to the amount, and then you would recluse away, because like when you're single, me and you talk every day, right? When you get in a relationship, we'll go at times days to sometimes weeks without a conversation, and you'd be like, I'm sorry, just been busy, and I'm like, bro, what?
Yep, I don't know. ChatGPT is gonna have to help me figure that one out.
ChatGPT is the therapist.
Is a therapist. Yeah, I have no idea. I don't know if it's because I feel less lonely.
Yeah.
Or if it's because am I a fearful avoidant? Am I an anxious avoidant? Like, I don't know. I know. Bro, I don't know.
That's something to figure out.
That is something to figure out. But bottom line, me being single needs to realize, I think this is why I don't need to be in a relationship.
Right.
My loneliness that I'm sitting here crying about, I think is the season that I need to figure out why I tick the way that I tick.
Right. I agree.
And I think that's my thing that I want to do. So what I'm planning on doing more of is taking little dates for me. But I do also want to, I know that you're saying like surrounding yourself with people is like a band-aid, but I also recharge when I'm around. No. Let me rephrase. I recharge when I'm alone, but once I'm recharged, I want to give what I've recharged.
Right. I don't think there's anything wrong with that. I'm not saying that it's a band-aid in the aspect of that. I'm saying like even when you're down and you're just trying to cover everything with distractions sometimes.
Oh, yeah.
That's what I'm saying. Like sometimes you have to figure out the root cause of like where the issue is coming from.
Mm-hmm. That I get.
Yeah.
I don't think that I want to get to that point where I'm like using that as a band-aid. And I don't because I'm very self-reflective and I'm very like introspective mm-hmm. when it comes to that. So I'm aware of how I'm being.
Right.
Right. Like I'm aware of my thought patterns and my actions and what I'm doing. Mm-hmm. What I really would enjoy is like going to the beach at night.
Right.
Like I said, right. Doing little things like that on my weekends off. I want to go challenge myself to do something like go to the beach by myself. Like I used to. Go to like little shops like I used to, little things right. like that. But I also do want to make it like a, I heard something the other day. What was it? It was this guy was on a podcast and he was talking about friendships and he felt like when he got into a marriage, he lost his friendships because he didn't put the work into his friendships.
Right. I just want to add real quick because for our listeners that are going to be listening to this podcast afterwards. So we're actually on TikTok live right now and we have people that are like talking with us and stuff. And one of the girls just said, she said, I push every single person away that I've been in a relationship with because I feel if I don't, I'll just get hurt. Mm-hmm. That is so strong.
That is strong.
She is a fearful avoidant.
Yep.
You are a fearful avoidant.
100%.
So, and that comes from, I think a lot of that's going to be childhood.
Yeah.
Because I think that in those moments, we push people away because we're so afraid to get hurt mm-hmm. that we don't take the chance sometimes.
For sure.
Because we struggle with feeling vulnerable.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that is that's a really hard one.
It is.
And I think that wraps into, I think you do that too at times. You, like in a lot of situations, you will take a lot more time than you need in a lot of situations, I feel sometimes, because you don't want to get hurt anymore. And so it's easier for you to just remain where you're at because then you can't get hurt anymore.
That's why I enjoy being single. Like, honest to God, like, unless I meet, like, first and foremost, I need someone who's Christian.
Right.
That's honestly what it boils down to is I have gone against and gone for a certain type that I thought was my type, mm-hmm. right? I need to literally go bare bones and go, do you have these values?
Right.
And if you don't, I don't care how good looking you are. I don't care what you do. I need stability. I need a head of household type right. man. I need someone who's career driven. I need someone who is loyal. I need someone who is understanding and compassionate. And I need you to have some sort of Christianity.
Right.
Period. But I also need to bring to that table my full authentic self.
Right.
I can't bring this version.
I agree.
That's not fair. If I'm expecting a king in my life, I need to be the queen.
Right.
I'm not bringing that right now.
I think it's just learning to set the boundaries.
Mm-hmm.
It's learning to pick and choose who you allow into your life, because I think that from childhood wounds. Okay. We stem to become familiar to certain people.
Right.
And those normally those familiar certain people are not the right people for us. Yep. Right. And so those are the ones that end up hurting us.
Yes.
And sometimes it's going outside of what our comfort zone is and then setting those boundaries and going, this is from the beginning, from step one of like the first when you start an interaction with someone and you start talking to them and it seems like this is something that they're wanting to pursue, is going, listen, here's my boundaries. Here is my, you know, this is what I will allow. This is what I won't allow. This is what I'm looking for. What are you looking for? And setting that right off the bat.
Right.
And figuring out like who that person is first and then taking your time.
Yeah.
Because I mean, I know for me, I have always had a problem with self-sabotaging.
No, even the good things,
right? Not me. We've talked about this in many episodes. And like with Eric, you know what I mean? Like when I finally found something good, I was so afraid for him to hurt me that instead I was like, oh, well, I'll just self-sabotage it. Oh, I'll just push this away. Oh, I'll just take it out and handle it a different way. You know what I mean? Because it was easier than allowing myself to get hurt.
Right.
So, because if I hurt someone first, then they can't hurt me.
That's right. And I think it's very easy for us to do that when we're normally used to chaos.
Oh, yeah.
And I think that's where I'm sitting right now.
Yeah.
So, to wrap this all in one little neat little box.
Messy. Whatever.
Listen, it is not tied with a bow. It's tied with fucking rubber bands at this point. Okay. I think if I can sum it up, is that I've been used to chaos for so long that the silence is making it feel lonely.
It's deafening.
And I don't think I'm lonely. I have community. I think I'm just used to chaos. And I need to heal that.
I think that that's exactly what it is. I think we just get so used to negativity and chaos and toxicity that that's where we end up feeling comfortable because that's been our whole life. So when it is quiet, we don't know how to handle that and we perceive it as a threat.
Yep.
No. Oh. You like that? That was good, wasn't it?
The threat part was very psychological. Yes. Yeah. Talk to me, daddy. Yeah, no. Yep. That's it. Yeah. That's literally it. So I think that moving forward, I need to realize that in that moments, I have the people in my life that are going to show up.
Right.
But I also have to realize that sometimes it's just not in my time because everyone else has their own life, you know?
I agree.
And I think that I need to challenge myself to do a little bit more of the things that I love because I tend to get stuck in my loop.
Yeah. I think we all get stuck in a loop of our own routines. I think that's normal in that aspect, especially no matter which way it is.
Yeah.
So that's what it really truly comes down to. So let's hear some homework for this week.
Yeah.
We're all going to challenge ourselves to do three things this week that make us feel better.
Let's keep each other accountable. Can we name some?
Sure.
I want to go to the beach towards sunset on one of the nights with some coffee. Would you like to go?
I would love to go.
Okay.
I need to start getting into reading again because I find that reading is a calm for me and it's an escape.
I was going to say that yesterday when you were scrolling through TikToks and Bookly came up or something and just the way you're like, oh, in my head, I'm like,
okay, yeah, because I like the way that their little library was set up.
That's yeah.
Because I love reading.
I think that reading for you would be fantastic. So challenge yourself to read like a couple chapters. If life just gets crazy.
Listen, if I start reading, I read more than a couple chapters. I will finish the whole book within like 6 hours.
You will. But I'm just saying in your, because you have a lot of chaos going on.
Yeah.
Okay. I next would like to make some bagels.
You want to make bagels?
I think I want to make bagels on my day off.
I will get down with that and I will make bagels too.
Okay, fine.
Because I just have to feed my starter.
Same.
So that will be another goal this week. We're going to make bagels because it's something we enjoy doing.
That's right. Okay, so we're going to make bagels. We're going to read. We're going to go to the beach with some coffee.
And I'm going to go a little self-help on this one for myself, and that is I'm going to make a... It's going to sound like I'm a dirty person, but I'm really not.
No.
I'm going to make the goal that I shower, like, every day.
Okay.
Because that's a hard one for me. Again, as we were talking about before, like, when I get my depression swings, right, that I have struggled to get out of bed. So it's going to be is I'm going to take a shower, do my hair and makeup every day. That's going to be a goal for this week.
You know what? It's the hair and makeup for me.
The hair and makeup.
Okay. I have four things. So then I want to do my hair and makeup because I feel better when I go to work
right,
with my hair and makeup done.
Right. Because you know what? I always think about
when you look better, you feel better.
Well, you know, it's not even that, but excuse me, what it comes down to is this. And I remember my grandmother always saying this, right? Because she'd get pissed off at me in the morning times when I would get ready for school and I literally would just like wear like my pajama looking clothes and I wouldn't brush my hair and I would just like go in the bathroom, brush my teeth and like throw my backpack on. Mm-hmm. And she was like, you're not dressing for success. She goes, well, how you dress is how you're going to feel about yourself, and how you feel about yourself is how your day is going to go. And I went, what? And I'm like, but I don't want to. I was like, no. And now I realize that the days that I get up and I shower. I then do my hair. I do my makeup. I put on some cute clothes and I go to work or do whatever. And those days, I'm like, today was a good day.
Yes.
You know what I mean? Because I feel good about myself.
That's right.
And I started it first thing in the morning.
That's keeping accountable. I really, listen, yes for you. Yes, I will follow that lead. I will also do my hair and my makeup every day this week. Last thing that I want to do, and I'm totally serious.
Okay.
On Saturday or Sunday afternoon for lunch, I really want to go to that Mexican place with you guys.
Okay. What was the name of the restaurant?
Cazadores.
Cazadores.
And I would like...
I can't promise that we can do that financially right this second, but...
Okay.
I would love to, but let me see where we are financially.
Okay, but what if I front you guys?
Let me see where weekend. We're at financially. Okay,
fine.
Okay. But.
Fine.
If we don't do that, then I think we should play some games. Like we play the whisper game.
Yeah.
That was fun.
That was fun. Doing that. You know what? Yes.
Just taking some time to do stuff that we enjoy. That's fun than just sitting and scrolling on our phones.
I agree.
Because we get caught up in that a lot, I've noticed.
Yes. So. Especially when we get funky.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. It's still fun though.
It is. I think, you know what? Thank you for talking this through.
Of course.
And any of our listeners, I really would like input on people who feel like we've touched on a lot of topics today.
We did.
So I want to hear about like self-sabotage. I want to hear about being single in your late 30s, early 40s. I want to hear about
the loneliness that just comes with being either single or being married or being a parent, mm-hmm. or any of it.
I agree. So,
you know how to get that stuff to us, unhingedmemoirs@gmail.com.
Yes.
You can also listen to us on all major platforms.
All of them.
All the platforms.
We don't need to list them anymore. You've been around long enough to know what we're on. We're on literally every last one of them.
Right. And then another thing that we are going to start doing, if you want to kind of get a sneak peek into our episodes, is we are actually starting to go live on TikTok while we're recording. So you can actually tune in and kind of hear a little bit of what we're going to be talking about and kind of listen to the episode ahead of time if you wanted to, and shoot the shit with us if that's something you guys are interested in doing.
Yes, but we have to give the tag name because it's not the Unhinged Memoirs that we're going live from.
Correct.
So give your tag name.
So mine is jess_unhingedmemoirs.com. It's JESS underscore and then Unhinged Memoirs. And Valerie's is?
Mine is val_unhinged_memoirs.
And then, of course, our normal TikTok, Unhinged Memoirs.
We love you so much, guys. Have the best week and we'll catch you next
week.
The
best weekend.
Bye.